IELTS Listening Test. Sample Test 6. This test is published and recorded by 9.09er English. This recording is copyright. You will have to respond to questions based on the recordings you will hear. You will be given the chance to read the directions and questions, and you will be given time to check your answers. You are allowed to listen to each section once only. 4 sections make up the test. You will have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet after the test. Now, listen to the first section. IELTS Listening Script 6. Difficult. Section 1. You will hear a conversation between a customer and the cashier at a film rental store. First, you will have some time to look at questions 1 to 10. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 10.
Hello, I heard you offer subscriptions for unlimited film rentals. I'm interested in subscribing to one, and I'm hoping you can help me with that.
Yes, of course. We actually offer two types, a monthly subscription and a yearly subscription of unlimited rentals. Which would you prefer?
Oh, I see. Let me think about it. How much would each type cost?
It's £10.99 per month, but if you choose the yearly subscription, it will cost you £83.99.
It will definitely be cheaper in the long run if I choose the yearly subscription, but I want to test it out first, so I think I'll go with the other option.
All right. Before I can register your subscription, I'll need to fill out a form with your details. Do you mind if I ask you a few personal questions?
Sure.
Okay. Can I have your full name, please?
It's Mike Leary.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that. Could you repeat your last name?
Sure, it's Leary. L-E-E-R-Y.
Thank you, and where do you live?
Apartment 206, Castle Lane, Nottingham.
Is that the apartment complex near the park?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And could you give me a postal code?
It's SW149JK.
Great. I'm also going to need your number.
Does it have to be my landline number? Or would my mobile number be enough?
Just your mobile number is fine.
Oh, okay. It's 078-5342-0020. Do you also need to see my ID?
Yes, I needed to confirm some of your details.
I only have my citizen card with me. Would that be all right?
Yes, could you give me the card number?
It's 5843-2166-4567-8901.
Great, could you hand it over so I can confirm it?
Sure, here you go.
Okay, thanks. Let's move on. Could you tell me your date of birth?
It's the 15th of February, 1991.
Great. That's all I need for your application form. However, would you mind if I asked you a few more questions regarding your film preferences? It's for a survey we're conducting to know which genres our patrons prefer, so we can add more of those films to our selection.
All right. Go ahead.
Thanks. Let's see. What kinds of films do you usually prefer to watch? Do you have a favorite genre in mind? We'd like to know what films you'll most likely rent from our store.
It's quite difficult to pick a favourite since I like different films. But recently I've been watching a lot of fantasy movies. I'm an avid fan of comic books, and it's fascinating to see all the superheroes and villains from those books on a TV screen. I think it really brings the characters to life.
How about musicals?
They're all right, I guess. I understand why a lot of people like watching musical films, since the production of those movies tends to be really entertaining to some. Well, the songs are good, but I don't really find myself wanting to watch them all the time.
I see. What other genres do you like?
I also love a good action film. The thrilling storylines and exciting action-packed scenes always keep me on the edge of my seat. But when it comes to movies based on true crimes, I tend to lose interest. I have a lot of friends who like this genre, but I find it a bit disturbing to know that the gory scenes in the movie actually happen to real people. I dislike them as much as I dislike horror films. I could never really finish those.
I completely understand. I'm not a big fan of those films either. How do you feel about comedies?
They're funny, but I'm more into romantic comedies, which I believe is a different genre in itself. I used to hate those films, but my wife watches them so often that it eventually grew on me.
Ah, those are also really popular among our other customers. So is it safe to say you also like romantic films?
Yes, I do like them, as long as they don't include any heavy drama. Oh, and I almost forgot. I might also be renting a lot of animated films, since I have two children at home, a toddler and a six-year-old girl. I also want them to be able to watch what they want. My children enjoy them so much that I've grown to like watching these as well.
All right, thank you. I think that's more than enough for our survey. Now, how would you like to pay for your subscription?
Would a credit card be fine?
Yes, of course.
Great. And will I need to bring some sort of ID or a card whenever I come here to rent films?
Oh yes, we will give you a membership card, which you can claim on the day after tomorrow, that's on Thursday.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
That is the end of section 2. You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Section 2. You will hear a man giving a woman directions around town. First, you will have some time to look at questions 11 to 20. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 20.
Excuse me, sir. Hi. I moved here recently from Billows County and I'm having a hard time finding my way around town. I was wondering if you could give me directions to all the important places here.
Sure, I'll help you with that. Let's see. Right beside us is our town's main bus stop. A lot of residents wait there daily since it's a lot cheaper to take the bus to work as opposed to a taxi. However, if you don't feel like waiting that extra couple of minutes for the bus to arrive, you could take a train instead. It's quite easy to the station. You'll have to pass three streets along 3rd Avenue and turn left onto Abbey Road. When you turn to face your right, you'll find the train station, which is also conveniently positioned right across the street from the taxi stand. If you ask me, taxis are definitely pricier than the train, but they're the best option when you're really in a rush to get somewhere since the train station does tend to get packed, especially during peak hours. Now, at the end of Abbey Road, on the right side of town, you'll find the post office. Keep in mind, though, that they're only open from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. on Mondays through Fridays. On Saturdays, however, they only operate until noon, so if you're planning to send mail on the weekend, it's best to do it as early in the day as you can. If you're interested in borrowing books or doing research, there's a wide selection of novels and scholarly journals you can choose from at the town library. To get there, you'll have to turn right here and walk along William Street before taking a left on 4th Avenue. The second building you'll see on the right side of the road, past Hamilton Park, is the town library. It's situated close to the school, so you might notice several students frequenting it daily. My daughter, in particular, likes to go there after her classes to do a bit of studying before she comes home. quite the diligent student, isn't she? Also, directly in front of the library, just along Berry Street, you'll find the drugstore. Tim, our resident pharmacist, owns it, and it's been in his family for years. We're a pretty close-knit community here, so I'm sure you'll meet him one of these days. He's a really nice person, and I'm sure you'd like him. On the same road, in between the drugstore and the school, you will find the only bank in town. Standard banking hours are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on weekdays. Unfortunately, they don't operate on the weekends, but you'll still be able to withdraw money from their automated teller machines. As you may have already noticed, our town isn't as big as others, but we do have everything we need here. We can buy clothes and other necessities at the shopping center. It's not far from here. Actually, you'll just need to turn left here and take a walk along 2nd Avenue. The first building to your right is our shopping center, and across the street, you'll see the Museum of History. If you've got extra time on your hands, I recommend visiting it to learn more about the rich history of our small town. Lastly, we have a coffee shop on Penny Road, right before the bank. I go there almost every morning to grab some of the best-selling muffins. They taste absolutely delectable. That and a hot cup of coffee are all you're going to need to perfectly start your day. It's a shame they don't open on Sundays, but I suppose they chose to not operate on those days so as to give their employees a much-needed day off. All right, I guess those are all the places you need to know here in town. I hope it helps. It was nice meeting you. See you around.
That is the end of Section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Section 3. You will hear a conversation between a male and a female student about an assignment for class. First, you will have some time to look at questions 21 to 30. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 30.
Hello, Lisa. Do you have a few minutes to spare? I'm in a bit of a pickle and I really need your help.
Of course, Matthew. What for?
You know that literature assignment we have that's due on Tuesday?
Yes.
To be honest, I've really been struggling with it. Have you finished yours yet?
I just finished mine last night. What exactly did you have trouble with? Was it the questions?
That's part of the problem. But the real issue I had was finding the right resources. I've tried going to the library, but almost all the books that cover the topics in our assignment were borrowed or unavailable. I suppose the people from our class may have beaten me to it.
Oh, I see. You should have gone and borrowed earlier. I rushed to the library immediately after last week's class. I had a feeling they would run out soon with all the people in our literature class.
I know it was a big mistake on my part, but I also had an important presentation for another class that took up a lot of my time and attention, so I ended up forgetting about our assignment. Do you think Professor Hendricks would consider giving me an extension? I could probably finish it by the end of the week.
I don't know. Extensions are usually only given in special circumstances, such as for medical or other valid reasons. I don't think he'd give you an extension if you told him you were preoccupied with a task for another class. He would probably just tell you to work on your organization and time management skills.
That's a bummer. I really need to get a high grade on this assignment. I didn't do so well on the last one.
What did you get on our last assignment?
I only got 65%.
I see. Well, I guess I could lend you some of the books I borrowed from the library. I used most of them to finish my assignment.
That would be great. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Now, I have about 12 books in total, although some are more useful than others. I didn't even finish every single book because it would take too much time.
Really? What books would you suggest I focus on?
I guess you should start with the ones that helped me a lot, which were Juliet Moore's and John Wilson's books. They were both published in 1889. Their books covered most of the questions, so I suggest starting with those.
All right, I'll take note of that.
You should also read Andrew Campbell's Comparison Between Literary Genres. It's one of the thicker books, so you don't need to read all of it. Perhaps you should just read the conclusion to get a brief summary. I read through most of the pages from Cynthia Jones's book, but there wasn't anything I could find that was related to the questions on the assignment. I think it would be best to skip that one.
Okay.
From what I remember, there was one particular answer that was hard to find. I read through most of the books, but only found it in Samuel Smith's Character Development and Purpose. If I'm not mistaken, I read it in chapter 30, but I'm not too sure.
Okay, I'll make sure to remember that.
Oh, and if you have come across James Wright's book, don't bother reading the chapters. I easily found what I need in the introduction. I almost missed it myself because I focused too much on the rest of the book, especially the conclusion.
That's helpful. Thanks for the tip.
Right, before I forget, make sure to add Meredith Lewis's research paper on language and literature to your reading list. It wasn't in any of the books I borrowed, but fortunately, I found it on the internet. I'll email you the link later when I get back to my dorm. There you go. That's about everything I read to finish the assignment. I hope it will help you finish yours in time.
Thank you, Lisa. I owe you big time.
That is the end of Section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Section 4. You will hear a professor giving a lecture on the history of the Olympics. First, you will have some time to look at questions 30 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Professor Sam Wright, and I'd like to thank you all for joining me for the first lecture of the term. Since the Olympics are coming up soon, I thought it would be fitting for our first topic to be in the history of the world's largest international scale athletic competition. In order for us to truly understand the significance of this world-renowned sporting event, we need to take a closer look back in time and learn about its roots. Now, not many of you may know this, but the first ancient Olympics were held in 776 BC. The reason it is now called the Olympics is because it was first held somewhere in the southern Greece at a place called Olympia. Experts in ancient Greek history believed that these games may not have been founded as a symbol of getting fit for war and honoring Zeus, who they considered to be the king of the gods. Competitors at that time would even offer prayers and gifts to him, hoping to be blessed with a victory. However, according to Greek legends, the games were created by a demigod named Heracles, who was the son of Zeus and a mortal woman. For the first 13 consecutive games, the ancient Olympics were one-day events that featured a single competition, the stade. Does it sound familiar to any of you? Well, actually, in modern times, we refer to it as a 200-meter dash. Eventually, to make things more difficult for the players, the Dialis was introduced. For this event, they would have to compete in a 400-meter foot race, twice the distance required of those who competed in the stade. Over time, more events were added to the ancient Olympics, making the entire games last for 5 days. Despite the tension between the two city-states of ancient Greece, they would declare a truce in order to allow their men to participate in this grand competition. Some cities would train their men for months in preparation for those events in the Olympics, but this did not mean that those who were untrained amateurs would not be allowed to join. There were no requirements with regard to the skill of a participant. However, they had strict standards for the eligibility of a man to compete. Foreigners, illegitimate children and slaves were not allowed to take part in any of the games. The modern Olympics we know now are very much different from the ones that were held thousands of years ago. In the past, they would compete fully nude as a way to intimidate opponents and demonstrate their physical strength and bodies to Zeus. Games were also more intense and violent. The only feasible way to stop a game was to admit defeat or succumb to death during battle. Another stark difference would be the exclusion of females from the competitions because of the belief that women were not meant to fight. Despite its popularity in ancient times, a Christian ruler by the name of Emperor Theodosius I, who actively promoted Christianity, perceived this event as a pagan practice and entirely banned it around 393 AD. It would take centuries before the Olympics would be revived once more. In the 19th century, Pierre de Coubertin, a French historian, admired pure sportsmanship and believed in the spirit of the Olympics. So much so that he formed the International Olympic Committee, and in the span of just a few years, they were able to hold the first ever modern Olympic Games. It was on April 6, 1896, that the Olympic Games would officially be revived in the Panathenaic Stadium in Athens, Greece, which was unanimously chosen by the International Olympic Committee to acknowledge the birthplace of the ancient Olympic Games. Athletes from 13 different countries competed in the said event, while a crowd of 60,000 people spectated every game. The early 1900s became a turning point for the Olympics. The International Olympic Committee wanted to show their support for gender equality in sport, and so, for the first time ever, women were allowed to compete in the Olympic Games held in Paris. It was recorded that a total of 22 women participated in various competitions such as tennis, golf, equestrian, sailing, and croquet. However, it wasn't until the 2012 Olympic Games in London that it became possible for women to compete in all the sporting events, which paved the way for many aspiring female athletes all over the world who have dreamt of being part of this international competition.
That is the end of the listening test. You now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the listening test answer sheet.